God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the 11th day of September, 2011, and you're listening to our evening service. Our sermon is presented by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and is entitled Seeking Wise Counsel. So thank you again for listening. We know that you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
The small, the glory of them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown, and all the best and worst of man can't change the master plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise. Joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God.
Of course, we continued in our study on what is better, and as we did, we talked about the importance of rebuke. Oh, you know what?
Yeah. I say it sounds muffled. I don't understand why. It sounds really bad. It's on. That's what I don't get. Is that better? The sound guys are going, really? This is what I work with. I don't want to tell you. Amen. Well, we talked about this morning, of course, what is better, and talked about rebuke, and I've got a message tonight that just kind of goes alongside of that. So we're not going to so much talk about rebuke as much as really probably the thing that helps along that line, and that is seeking wise counsel. And as I began thinking about it and thinking about rebuke and the different elements of it, this story came to mind. We'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 16 if you want to turn over there. One of the best things we could do is subject ourselves to some wise counselors. You know, there is a big thing going on today and has for a while. I mentioned to you before, it's called accountability. And I need to clarify something. I am not against accountability, but you need to understand what entails accountability. Accountability is really an individual submitting themselves to somebody else or placing themselves under somebody else's authority or leadership so that person can rebuke them properly and give them or give them wise counsel. So when somebody says, man, I wish I had somebody that I, you know, could be accountable to or that would help me out, that's what I need is accountability. Understand this, that people aren't just going to come up and say, hey, I'm going to make you accountable. That's not the way it works. It works with that individual, yourself, saying, hey, maybe I need some instruction or I need somebody to pray with me or guide me. And maybe I'm going to come and talk to somebody periodically and let them know what's going on in my life and get some direction. Well, that's accountability. And it's a good thing. It is. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a really good thing. But in that, it's also a way that you can get rebuke. You can get somebody that will open up and say, hey, let me share this. Because as I said this morning, people, we don't have authority just to walk around and rebuke anybody we see. Okay, there are guidelines for that. So I hope you didn't take this morning's message and say, man, am I going to let them have it. There's been some people I've been wanting to rebuke for a long time. Understand, that may blow up in your face. Okay, there are, first of all, relationships that has to be established. Authority has to be established. All those different things have to be there before it's successful. Now, once that happens, the next level that I believe is this level of advice and the importance of seeking and getting wise counsel. So tonight I want to remind you of a story of Absalom and Ahithophel. And if you know your Old Testament, you're at least familiar with the story. So stand with me, if you would, as we look at 2 Samuel. I hope I didn't say first. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading. Let's jump down to verse 15. And chapter 16, verse 15. We're going to go into chapter 17. So I know there's a natural break there, and you think I'm done. You go, we're not. So I'm just helping you pass that break that man put there. But here we have it. I'm going to give you a little background real quick. You might remember David is king. David has been overthrown by Absalom, basically. And if you remember the story, David willingly left the city to spare the lives of his people. And so him and the mighty men, those loyal to David, are leaving. In chapters 16 and before in 15, you'll find that Absalom had sat at the city gates for 40 years. Not 4 years, 40 years. And interesting, he gave counsel to the people. And so here he gave out counsel, but his purpose of giving counsel wasn't so much that he really wanted to help the people. Oh, I'm sure there was some of that. But if you read the context, the Bible says he stole the hearts of the people. In other words, he wanted to get back at Daddy-O because Dad didn't accept him and he felt rejected. And now he didn't feel like he had the honor that he needed, the respect that he needed. And so as the people's heart grew towards Absalom, the thought some point in time came and said, you know what? I think I'll just rule one day. And that's where we pick up. He's now, David has fled the city to spare the city. Absalom is coming in. This is what's taking place. We pick it up in verse 15. Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem. And Ahithophel with him. Now, Ahithophel was David's most faithful and wisest counselor. And you're going to see that as we read on. Verse 16. It came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. Now stop, pause real quick. Actually, he had fled with David, and David sent him back. And David sent him back to give unwise counsel to Absalom. And so basically, he was a spy. So now we pick it up, verse 19. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, look at this, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Let me help you. It was though God was speaking. When this man spoke, it was so powerful that when he spoke, it happened. I mean, exactly as he said. I mean, we're not talking it might happen. I'm talking people really felt this guy has a direct line to Almighty God. And whatever he says, you better do it. Because why? Every time he spoke, it happened. I mean, it happened. That was the wisdom that God had given him. That was the connection that he had. And so we see that here. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men. I will arise, pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return. So all the people shall be in peace. And the same pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai, the Archite, also. Let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men. They be mighty men. They be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan unto Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city. We will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found thereof. Now look at this. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, well, the counsel of Ahushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Lord, we come to you now, and Lord, we thank you for your word, the insights that it brings into our lives. We pray that tonight would be like the other evenings that we come and meet before you, that as we open up your word, Lord, your spirit would have freedom to search our hearts, to examine us, to help us, Lord, to accept your truth, that we might live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Beautiful, interesting story. It's got strategy, it's got battle, it's got deceit, it's got so many elements. People say, man, the Bible's boring. I don't know what book you're reading. I really don't get that. I mean, if we had time to just really detail this out, it's an amazing story. By all rights, Absalom should win. Now, most of you know the end of the story. Absalom doesn't win, he dies. Okay? But by all rights, he should win. I mean, he's taken 40 years to plan this thing out. He's got all of Israel except a few. And I know they're mighty men, it's David, but they're outnumbered by such an amazing amount. Just by sheer number, David loses. I mean, it's phenomenal what has taken place here. And so they're all gathered together, but it's interesting to me what has taken place. I love how God says you reap what you sow. For 40 years, Absalom gives counsel. For 40 years, he sits, but his purpose is to steal the hearts of the people. And so God sends one counselor to steal his heart. Did you not notice that Ahithophel's counsel, as we read, was as the oracle of God? I mean, when that guy spoke, it happened. Let me help you. When he spoke, you just do it. Really, should have stopped right there. But he turns to David's other trusted counselor, who just came back, and he gives him a totally different story. Now, let me tell you, the story that Hushai gives is not a bad plan. From a logical, statistical situation, he's right. You know, let's wait. You know, let's just pause. Let's get everyone together. We'll so overwhelm them, we'll kill them all. Anybody that's on David's side, you'll have no more problems. So from a logical, are you ready? Human standpoint, that's the right move. But let me tell you, Ahithophel's was the right move. If he takes 12,000 men, he goes that night, he catches David by surprise, he kills David, and all the people come back, and it happens just as he says. But that wasn't God's plan. I love the way that no matter what we plan, there's a God in heaven to make sure that his will comes to pass. Just in the 9/11, I've been enthralled by the stories the last couple of days, and just watching. Those terrorists wanted to kill everybody, not 3,000. They wanted to kill thousands upon thousands. I know they were probably happy with three, but at the same time, I think they were disappointed there weren't more. You say, why weren't there more? There's a God in heaven. I looked as that tower fell and saw it once again as you did.
and recounted the story on one of the shows I was watching of the Ladder Crew 6, fire truck Ladder Crew 6 down in New York. If you remember, Tower 1 collapses, except right there, there's like one stairwell left, totally surrounded. And it takes them hours and hours, but they dig through. And of the 16 people rescued, there's 7, 8 firemen sitting there with the lady that they had rescued right there. How did that happen? There's a God in heaven. And when they thought they got everybody, I always smile and say, you didn't get everyone. You say, why? God knows what he's doing. So man's best plans, man's best strategy can't outwit God. That's why we need God. And we need the word of God. And are you ready? We need the counsel of God in our life. Because no matter how good you plan, and that's what I like about the story. No matter how well you plan, no how much energy and how good it sounds, if it's not from God, it won't work. I mean, you can have all kinds of people look at it and say, it looks good to me. But I'm telling you, you must make sure it's from God. And so tonight, I want to make sure we're getting wise counsel, godly counsel from God's book, God's men, God's women that will help us out. So I want to talk about counsel tonight. We're going to first of all talk about the wisdom of counsel. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, the Bible says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Proverbs 19, just before it says, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou may be wisest in the latter end. Listen, folks, we need counsel. Wise counsel is so essential. I'm going to give you three thoughts under that. First of all, it is critically needed by everyone. I don't know of anyone that doesn't need counsel. I'm going to be real honest with you right now. There is no one alive who doesn't need counsel. As a matter of fact, when you get to the point that you don't need counsel, something's wrong. I'm telling you right now, something's wrong with you. Why? Nobody knows it all. Doesn't it irritate you when you run into people that are younger than you that know it all? Now, it may not irritate you, but I know people in their 20s that they've done it all. I'm thinking, you're 22. How's that possible? I mean, really? You know, you're telling a story and they go, did that? Seriously? Been there? Really? And no matter what you say, you have to know I'm ornery. When I get in those conversations, everything inside of me wants to make things up. I really do. I just want to go and just see how much I can get out of that person of what they've done. You know, yeah, I was in World War II. It's a little impossible. Let me help you. Me too. Really? You know, it's just funny to me. But you get these people, and even beyond that, besides they know it all, they've done it all. You ever try to talk to somebody that way? And you don't really talk. You listen. You say, why? Well, because they just want to talk. I get that sometimes with counseling. Someone will call and say, preacher, I need some advice. They come in. I don't say anything. About 45 minutes later, I go, let's pray. They walk out. Thank you, pastor. That was so much exciting. I learned so much from you. I'm thinking, I never said a word. They just wanted someone to vent to, you know, and which is fine sometimes. But I'm thinking, wow, that's not counsel. You know, matter of fact, you know what we need in counsel? Teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. I love what the Bible says here in the book of Proverbs 8, 33 through 36. It says, hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth life, findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Man, let me tell you the neat thing. It's critical to everyone to get counsel, but you get it by having a teachable spirit and by listening, okay? If you're doing a lot of talking, you're not getting a lot out of it. Matter of fact, by the way, when you go to get counsel, of course you have to tell your story, you have to explain what's taking place. We get all that. But really, you want to sum that up and let somebody listen to that, pray about it, and give you some wisdom. But let me tell you this, it's critical to get it. Everybody needs it. The second thought under the wisdom of counsel is, we often get counsel just to confirm what you already know. Proverbs 20:18 said, every purpose is established by counsel. We already read that. You notice that it says established. In other words, sometimes you already know. Isn't it good just to be confirmed, though? Isn't it good just to go in and somebody say, you're right. That's right. That's what the Bible says is what you ought to do. It gives us so much boldness to go forward. And thirdly, under that, I just want to give you real quick, it helps us cut down on mistakes. Boy, I tell you what, without counsel, purposes, the Bible say, are disappointed. I want to encourage you to seek counsel and to get proper counsel. Now, I realize you say, but wait a minute, preacher. Absalom got counsel and it messed with him. We're going to cover that here in just a second. I realize the implication of that. But I want you to understand, first of all, counsel is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, if you know anything about the Word of God, a wise woman, a wise man, before any major decision, always seeks counsel. And if you don't, there's usually because, well, pride, just to be quite honest with you. Pride and arrogance. If you go back to our study on Joshua, you remember him? In that great book, he had one major mistake. I mean, he had all these victories. I think it was 31, 32 kings he defeated, all these victories. But he had one flaw, one mistake. And if you look at it logically, what he did was right. But he failed to do one thing. He failed to stop and get counsel of God. And when he failed to stop and get counsel of God that one time, you know, the Gibeonites came in and they said, hey, let's make a truce. He wasn't supposed to make a truce with anybody. But he made a truce that day only because he didn't do what? Didn't get counsel. Folks, take time to get counsel. Take time to stop and seek some advice. And you may be right on target, but go ahead and get the confirmation. Why? Because every purpose is established. It's made firm. It's made solid by counsel. Now, again, that counsel may not be what we want to hear. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second, but you need counsel. Now, I want to get into two aspects of it. First of all, I want to talk about wise counsel, then unwise counsel. In our story, you have two people, Ahithophel and Hushai. Now, Ahithophel's counsel, as he says, was as the oracles of God. In other words, as this man spoke, I mean, it happened. This guy had that direct line, as we said. This was a guy you wanted to line up to, you wanted to get information from, okay? Why? He knew the mind of God, and God used him in a great way. Wise counsel is essential. Anytime we talk about counsel, a lot of times when you start talking about it, people say, wow, I'll just talk to whoever I want. No, you know who you need to talk to? Godly people. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 real quick. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I like that. Ye which are spiritual. Can I just help you? I'm not saying that you can't learn anything from the world. I get that. I understand there's a lot of things that God has created and principles that we can learn. But we're talking about getting counsel about important purposes in our life. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand why believers don't seek wise, godly counsel. And you wonder who you want to get it from? The Bible says spiritual people. In other words, people who are at that time right with God. People who have a spirit about them like Ahithophel, that they have a connection with Almighty God. That's who you want to talk to. Why? Because you want to make sure you're doing what is right. Folks, you don't want to call your friends, and you don't want to call people that aren't as spiritual and aren't as godly. So often we tell people we got counsel, but let's just be honest. We pick people who tell us what we want to hear. We pick people who are going to agree with us. And then our life blows up and we go, well, I don't know why this happened. Well, I do. You don't want to be rebuked. You don't want to be corrected. You didn't want to go and get instruction from somebody who might tell you what you didn't want to hear. Somebody spiritual is going to tell you the right thing. The fact of the matter is counsel is always to find the correct answer, not the answer you want. The fact of the matter is, too often, when we seek counsel under that guideline, all we're doing is seeking people that will agree with us. I'm going to tell you, if that's the way you think, hang on. You're going to have a life like, not just Ahithophel, but Absalom. I mean, get ready for a mess. Now, I want to stop right here for just a second. For 25 years, I've had the pleasure of counseling at Central Baptist Church. And counseling is a simple thing to me, in that we're just taking the Word of God and we're sharing it, okay? So I'm just going to share my heart with you. We take this book. Berlin and I, the good news is we don't have to come up with our own wisdom. That is so good. I like that. You know, I'm one of those strange believers that if you have a problem, God has an answer. Now, I realize we don't always know specifics, but I believe even there's enough general principles in there that we can guide you and say, well, no, I don't know specifically this, but we can give you parameters and guidelines that through prayer, God will guide you. There's just not a debate to me that God will guide you, and you'll be just fine by following those. You know, so sometimes a student comes and says, which college should I go to? I don't know, but I can give you some guidelines. You know, who should I marry? Well, sometimes I know that one. You know, sometimes like, not them. You know, yeah. I mean, there are some things, but sometimes we're like, well, let me just give you some parameters, some guidelines. You know, here's some things. If you follow, God will guide you in time. It'll work out. Okay, it'll work out. So in other words, I just believe God has the right answers. But I'm going to tell you one of the most frustrating things as a pastor is to watch so many people make life-changing decisions and never talk to a spiritual leader. Now, let me tell you, I am not trying to get more counseling. I have plenty, trust me. Okay, that's not the goal here, really. I'm trying to fill up Brother Lynn's calendar is what I'm trying to do right now. So I don't want you to take this wrong. You mean we got to call you for everything, Pastor? No, don't do that. Please do not do that. You know, I was thinking about shopping today. Should I? Do not call me about that. I will think bad thoughts about you all day long. Okay, I will become unspiritual. I'm not talking about those type of things. Ask somebody else. I'm talking about major, big decisions in our life. Over 20, 25 years, I've been amazed at people getting married, never talk to their youth director. I mean, grew up in the youth department, never once call the youth director and say, is this good? Seriously? Never talk to the pastor. I've done major decisions, big stuff, major purposes that are life-altering. And we don't seek anybody spiritual at all. Now, whether it's your pastor or a deacon or someone, that's up to you. But all I'm telling you is this, folks, you need counsel. I need counsel. Do you realize as your pastor, I don't make decisions without counsel? I mean, I'll talk to the deacons. I'll talk to Brother Lynn. I'll call other pastors. Even things that I know, I think it's what God is doing. I want confirmation. What I don't want to do is, and often I'll call somebody that I know has a different thought process than me. And I want to call and talk to them just to see what their angle is on it. And if God is maybe talking through them. But too often, you know what we're afraid of? I think we're afraid of the answer sometimes. Because here's the thing. Too often, we want to do what we want to do. And that's what we want. You look at this story, Absalom had one thought. I want to kill him. I want to win. I'm going to take the counsel that I think is best. Now, wait a minute. Ahithophel, who the Bible says, he spoke as the oracle of God. As soon as he spoke, they should have said, by golly, that's what we're doing. But he asked somebody else. He asked another counselor that God had already told us was sent there by David in order to discomfort him and to deceive him. And he looks at both of them and he says, from God? You can say, not from God. I think I'll take that one. And he ends up following that one and he goes to battle himself. He dies in battle and the rest is history. You say, why? He picked the counselor he wanted. Let me help you. Wise counsel means this, not the people that'll tell you what you want to hear. People, as we talked about this morning, that'll tell you what you need to hear. And often that includes rebuke. Rebuke. Now, here's the thing. I can't tell you how many other times we've sat down in counsel, and Berlin and I will give counsel, and here's the thing. If it's biblical, it'll work 100% of the time. Now, if it's just for me, I'll often preface it and say, well, here's just what I think. Do what you want. If that's the case, you can take it or leave it. It's up to you. And if it does work out, praise God. If it doesn't, sorry. Those are what we call guesses. When I'm guessing, I usually tell you, and man, I have no earthly idea, but this is probably what I do. Good luck. Do a little bit more prayer. But we open up the book and say, can I help you real quick? The Bible says this. This is what you ought to do. And you walk out, and I can't tell you how many times this happens, except for the majority. And they walk out, and they do the exact opposite, just like Absalom. Now, for this story is probably bigger to me than maybe most of you. Because I see this unfold every year, multiple times. What do you mean, Absalom's? Yeah, the principal. A man who seeks wise counsel and ignores it. Over and over, I see men and women that will take the time to come in and seek counsel, but when they're not told what they want to hear, they walk out and do the opposite. And I'm going to tell you something. It never works out. I'm going to tell you something else. As a pastor, you don't hear us saying, I told you so. Because there's no joy when you walk out and don't follow biblical counsel. We don't keep a running chart. We don't go, man, are they going to get it? Woo! We'll show them. We don't get excited when you don't follow the Word of God. On the contrary, usually we're like, well, we better start praying harder. Why? Because there's a train wreck getting ready to happen. You say, why? Well, folks, God's Word is 100% true. You want to talk about the oracles of God? You want a connection? Get in this book. You want a connection to God? Get in this book. And when you get in this book, I'm telling you, you'll have the knowledge and wisdom of God that you can, with confidence and confirmation, go into whatever you're doing and know this is from God. And I've prayed about it. I got in the Word of God. I sought wise, godly, spiritual counsel. Not just say people who go to church. Not just, you know, my friends who I like. No, I'm talking about people who know the Word of God that say yay or nay. And not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And then what happens? Then you have glorious praise from God, and things go good. Fact of the matter is, too often, we're seeking counsel, but it's worldly counsel. You say, what's worldly counsel? Well, worldly counsel, Psalms 1:1 says, comes from ungodly people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's too much counsel, too many people getting advice from the world and things that aren't right. Now listen, you say, how does this apply this morning? Well, here's the thing. I'm convinced that some people don't come to Central Baptist Church for the reason that they don't want to hear it. I'm just going to be honest with you. They don't want to hear it. You say, hear what? They don't want to hear what this book has to say. It's like they're afraid if they hear it, they might have to do it. That's a good point. And it's like if they hear it, they'll be accountable for it. That's true. But here's the errant thought. If I don't hear it, I won't be accountable to it. That's a flat lie. So you're accountable either way. In other words, God's truth is God's truth. You not hearing it doesn't change the fact of what God's going to do. You're not coming to hear the word of God. Folks, I understand that preaching often is counsel. It's biblical counsel. It's often rebuke, reproving, as the word of God says. That's part of it. And I know sometimes when you're going through a tough time, the last place you want to be is in the house of God where the preacher might stand up and say something you don't like. And they get mad. But can I help you? That ought to be the first place you go. And you ought to be in there because, folks, if you're right, are you ready? If you're right, this book will do nothing but confirm you're right and you'll walk out with a peace. But if you're wrong, this book or another spiritual leader or somebody will rebuke what you're doing and it just might save your life. But if you over and over do not follow that advice and somehow think that the end of the story will turn out good, you have deceived yourself. Because folks, the reason there are stories like this in here are for the fact that God says, listen, my will be accomplished. And it will be accomplished the way that I want it to be accomplished. And I will put principles like this and stories like this in here, not because I'm against you, but because I love you. And I want you to seek wise counsel. And those that get wise, godly counsel, and those that follow the advice of others, people that have been down the road longer, people that have been there, and instead of ignoring it or trying to interject your own thoughts and saying, you know what? They just might be right. I mean, they've done this before. And if I follow this, then God just might bless and good things will happen. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. But if I ignore it, then God's hand will have to be against me. Why? Because I didn't follow wise counsel. So now I want you to get this primary point. Absalom is a story about counsel. Yeah, it really is. It's interesting to me with Ahithophel, too, and the way that God works this out. Ahithophel is an interesting character. You ever wonder why Ahithophel decided to abandon David and follow the errant son Absalom if he was so wise? There's a second reason I like this story and wanted to use it tonight. It really does include what we talked about this morning. Now you say, why? We remember the last verse we covered in Hebrews 12:15 was this thing said, looking diligently lest any root of bitterness spring up and many be defiled. And the context that was given in is that when you're rebuked, when you're corrected in some way, that oftentimes, rather than lifting up your hands and getting on the straight path, people will become bitter. Well, that's what happens. Now, Ahithophel is an interesting character because Ahithophel is actually related to somebody in David's life. You know who she is. Her name's Bathsheba. Yeah, they're relatives. Now, you might remember that Ahithophel was David's primary counselor, and David goes into Bathsheba, has a kid, and kills Uriah, who would have been, well, let's see, related to Ahithophel through marriage. So Uriah is put to death, Bathsheba is defiled, and they have a child. And rather than showing forgiveness after David repented and accepting that, Ahithophel stayed in his position, but in his heart, he kept a thing called bitterness. You say, well, why is that so important? Well, the Bible said in 2 Samuel 16, we read, the counsel of Ahithophel was like the oracle of God. Now, in other words, his counsel was so good, his wisdom was so wise, his connection was so on target that when he gave other people advice, it always worked. 100%. It was as though God was standing there talking directly to you. That's how much you could take it. I mean, you could just say, this is from God himself. Why? Wow. Well, then wait a minute. How did he get messed up? How can somebody with that much wisdom blow it? That's a pretty big thing. How can someone with that much wisdom run away from David, God shows a man, and wait a minute, choose Absalom? Huh. Well, let me help you. It's called bitterness. Bitterness. Now, here's the thing with rebuking and advice. And I'm just going to end with this thought because I think it's important. Rebuking and wise counsel will put you on the straight path unless you're harboring bitterness in your heart. Can I help some of you out of why you don't get out of the messages what other people get out? Some of you are bitter. Oh, you're coming. You're here in body, just like Ahithophel continued his job. But inside, and I'm talking years. Well, what do you mean years? Years and years and years. 40 years, Absalom sat there and did what he did. For years, Ahithophel sat there and he judged and he gave counsel to David and he put a smile on his face. But inside, there was something growing. And instead of forgiving, like the Bible said, instead of doing what he's supposed to do, it grew and it ended up killing him. Because the rest of the story, because they followed Hushai's advice instead of Ahithophel's, Ahithophel kills himself. The rest of the story. He's done. Now, why would a man that wise, with that much power with God, go through that? Because he failed to follow biblical advice of bitterness. Listen, I've told you before, you're probably going to be hurt sometime. It's probably going to happen. Probably going to happen multiple times. You say, why? It's life. It's people. If you haven't been hurt here at Central Baptist Church, you haven't been in long enough. Hang on, buddy. We'll hurt you. I'm just going to tell you. Why? We're people. Somebody will say something. Someone will do something. I get reports every once in a while. I'm always amazed at how we don't look at the big picture. We got like 450 active members, over 500 members coming to Central Baptist Church. So you got 450 people on a given Sunday, and one person comes up to you and says, Debbie, you're just weird. And we're like, that's it, I'm leaving the church. Really? Just don't sit by that person anymore. If it's him, you have to. I'm sorry, you know. It blows my mind. So somebody will say something, it's like, that church. And we get out of church, so that means we're away from the Word of God. We're away from wise counsel. We sit at home bitter. And what happens? We miss out on what God wants for our life. Now listen, I just want to share some things with you tonight. Some of you, can I tell you what you need tonight? You're never going to get on the right path that we talked about this morning until you can get rid of the bitterness. There needs to be some good old-fashioned biblical forgiveness that's given. And you need to realize, and by the way, when I'm saying forgive, sometimes people just won't change, folks. If you're waiting to forgive for them to change, you might be waiting a long time. I'm going to help you real quick. But there's some things that have been said. There's some things that have been done. And all I know is I've done this study is this. Rebuke is good. It's like a massage and oil. That's good stuff. Counsel. Oh, it establishes us. But you can have both and still be on the wrong path because you are so angry and you are so bitter at side in your parents and someone in the church, and the pastor, and something that's happened over time that you refuse to repent of, then guess what? You can hear the Word of God every single week, and it'll bounce off. It will just flat bounce off of you. And I'm convinced of that because, again, we have multiple stories of people sitting in the congregation over and over and over and over. They're living miserable lives because they refuse to let go. And they sit in my office, and I open up the Word of God, and I share these truths with them. And I share about let it go. Forgive them. Come on. Let God work. And they'll walk out, I know, preacher, but. Oh, that's a terrible word. And they'll say that, I know, but. And they'll come in 3 months later. We'll talk about the same thing. A year later, the same thing. And they refuse to let it go. Let me tell you. When you get to that point, understand your growth is done. Your path is sealed. Until you repent and get up and say, okay, God, I'm ready to do what you want. But as long as you have bitterness, no counsel will help you. As long as you have that anger sitting there, I'm just going to tell you, no rebuke will put you on the right track. It'll bounce right off. How long can that last?
Well, for a lot of people, it's lasting even to right now today, and they've had it for years. So, hey, you want a life full of life and peace? You want to be able to receive rebuke, and it feels like a massaging one? You know, and you say, yeah, go ahead and let the righteous smite me, because, man, it's going to be good. You want to have that attitude? You want to be seeking counsel and be able to receive it? Then first get rid of the bitterness, because you need to look diligently and make sure there's nothing inside hindering you from receiving instructions. Because all I know is for a lot of people, something's keeping them from doing it. Something's keeping a whole lot of people that I know from receiving biblical instruction. And I don't know if it's that for everybody, but I'm going to tell you as your pastor, the Spirit of God is telling me there's a whole lot of people that have an anger or bitterness problem. And I know it to be true because I've watched this ugly head rear up 4 years, 5 years, 10 years later on issues you thought were so gone and so done. And all of a sudden it spews out of their mouth. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. Where in the world did that come from? I'm going to tell you where it came from. Something in your heart where you didn't forgive and let go. And so if you want the rebuke, if you want the counsel to help your life, get rid of the bitterness. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now. Lord, we see a story in your book that wasn't put here by accident. A bitter Absalom and a bitter Ahithophel at David made their move thinking that they would win. And a sovereign God intervened. You had Ahithophel follow the wrong advice. Although a good counselor, good man, Hushai, was sent to deceive on purpose because of two bitter men that were seeking to do that which was wrong. And they were so bitter they didn't realize the treachery that they were committing. In their own mind, they thought it was better for Israel when it was really just better for themselves. Lord, may we not spend our lives and ruin our lives with anger and bitterness, but may we remove it. That, Lord, when we do get wise rebuke, when we do get wise counsel, we can properly receive it into our hearts and move forward. But as long as we're angry, as long as we're mad, Lord, the very people that can help us the most are the people we'll reject. So, Lord, I don't know what all the needs are here, but I know this, Lord. There's a lot of people that don't adhere to the Word of God. No matter how clear you present it, how many times you talk to them, it's like it bounces off. And, Lord, I'm convinced after looking at your Word that a large part of that is a root of bitterness. Lord, help us remove it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord spoken to you of something tonight that came up in your heart. You know, the altar is a place to begin removing things. It's time to bow before God and say, God, would you help take care of this? Whatever the need is, I pray that if you need to come spend some time with God, that today would be that day that you do that. Get some things corrected so that when you do hear the Word of God, the preaching, whether it's rebuking or loving or counseling, whatever it is, you can receive it. You can receive it well. Whatever the need is, I challenge you to come. Whether it's salvation, baptism, membership, or just a time to pray, you come as we sing page 39, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. myself, and I will be ever on the all for thee, ever on the all for thee.
Heads bowed for just a minute in a state of prayer. As the instruments continue to play. Good time just to talk to the Lord. We need counsel. We need wise rebuke. But it's got to have a soil that it can be implanted into. And if our hearts are full of anger and bitterness, we won't receive the word of God. We won't receive wise instruction. It will bounce off. It'll go on its way. The seed will not take root. We will miss great opportunities. But if we keep our hearts pliable and humble and right before the Lord, then when the instruction comes, we can receive it.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.